Next Step 463, April 20th, 2017. The Reds formula exposed and revealed. How about that? As well as a break between all the events of this Holy Week and genocide commemoration. This is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, putting it all together, connecting the dots between the spiritual and the physical. This is The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
The Reds formula. That's what I called it. It was the Reds formula. If you've listened to The Next Step long enough, you've heard me somewhere along the way talk about this. The Reds formula. I'll never forget it. 1981. We went to see this movie called Reds. Warren Beatty, I think Diane Keaton, and Jack Nicholson. It was a love story. You go in watching a love story, you come out educated about the Russian Revolution. And I remember that day, specifically turning to my wife, we were dating at the time, to Susan, and saying, this is what we need. This is what we need. Go into a movie expecting one thing, come out educated about the one thing that no one knows about, namely the Armenian Genocide. We need a movie that's not going to cram it down people's throat that, look, this is the Turk, this is the Armenian, they were slaughtered, and the Turk's a bad guy, he came up and did this. We need a story that has a line that will attract people. And in the background somewhere, we need to educate the people. I'll never forget it, and I've shared this with you too. It's the Reds formula. It was a very important movie in my life. I'll never forget it, yeah. The Reds formula. It's like, tell them the love story, what they want, and then in the background, educate them. And so you can imagine how excited I am right now that this movie, The Promise, is coming out. We're going to get a first look at it this weekend. So excited, because that's exactly what it's doing. It's the Reds formula. There's a love story. I think it's a love triangle. And in the background somewhere, you learn the story of the Armenian Genocide. I was tickled this morning on CBS News. They interviewed two of the actors in it. And they were talking about it. They were admitting that here is a story that has been lost. But they themselves did not know. And it was the tickling part was I'm watching these newscasters who for years have avoided the Armenian Genocide. And now they're admitting it too. In fact, one of them said, I'm ashamed to say that I knew nothing about it. The newscaster, right? Hey, better late than never, right? Anyway, through In His Shoes, we've rented an entire theater. We've blocked out a whole theater. We're going to be watching it this Saturday night. If you happen to be in L.A., you know, give me a call. Get in touch with me as quick as you can. I would love to have you join us. We're going to watch it this Saturday evening, The Promise. And, you know, on a personal note, I'm very excited. We should all be excited. This was Kirk Krikorian's dream. And the reason why I'm saying it's so beautiful and I'm excited about it is that, yeah, we all have dreams. And he was a multi-billionaire. He had this dream. And unfortunately, he didn't see this dream realized. From what I understand, production on The Promise started after his death. But he funded it. But here's what's exciting about it, and you should know this and you should remember it. Kirk Krikorian was the head of MGM Studios. Yes, MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. He was the head of MGM. He had bought it out. And he wanted to make a movie about the Armenian Genocide. And he couldn't. Imagine that. The head of the studio, and he couldn't make it. That's how powerful the Turkish lobby is. That's what they're doing out there. And so here it is, several years later, several decades later, and this dream came true. So I'm excited in that way, too. Anyway, we are in between stops of Armenian genocide. Well, it's not the last time you'll hear genocide stories today. I want to share with you some other stuff. I am in between stops. I just came back from John Burrow High School. I love going to high schools because the people are so fresh. If you saw my Instagram picture, they've just like marked it up with poster paints, this big sign about the Armenian Genocide. And it's just really refreshing to see a new generation. I just spoke with them. And you know what went through my mind is during my time growing up, we'd go to many of these genocide commemorations, and the front row was filled with survivors, and some of them would get up and share their testimony. Today, of course, there are no survivors. If there are one or two left, they're in places where maybe it's not that easy for them to share. What would they have to be, huh? In their late 90s, it's somebody who, let's see, 1923 is the accepted year that the genocide ended, 1915, 1923. So if they were born in 1918, they'd be 99 years old now. They'd be 5 years at the 5 years old at the end of the genocide. They may remember some of it. But you can imagine, I mean, without getting too detailed and graphic about it, you can imagine that the age factor comes into play. And we don't have those eyewitnesses. Thank God we have all of these archives we can we could dig into. And there are people like me, like you, who have heard the stories firsthand. I had my grandmothers tell me firsthand. I made a very important decision at some point as a kid was to borrow a tape recorder and record them. So I have their audio testimony of what happened during the genocide. And it's up to me to continue to share these stories with the next generation. So I'm in between stops. I was at a high school today. I got a few more speaking engagements. And I'm going to share with you what happened at one of them. But before that, let me also tell you today we're going to be talking about Portland. Beautiful place. Oh, I fell in love with the place. We went up with Susan and I went up, and then our sons, Sevan and Christopher, surprised us on Saturday and Sunday. We spent the Easter holy days together and came back down, just saw some beautiful places. If you are in that area, get out to a place called The Grotto. It is run by the Catholics, the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm looking into maybe doing a retreat up there. It is just an exceptionally beautiful place where you can just go meditate and just disconnect from everything around you. You wouldn't believe that it's inside of a city. And probably it's not, because Portland itself, you know, doesn't have that city flavor to it, unless you get right into the downtown. Anyway, we were up in Portland for the holy days for Easter. Going to be sharing about the first English service that we had. Yes, we've done many English services, but now we're on a regular basis every Monday night and sanctioned by an Archbishop of the Armenian Church. So we'll share some ideas and thoughts about that coming up this next Monday. It's April 24th, and we're going to be celebrating the Holy Liturgy at our Monday night service. So that should be really very special to commemorate and to remember our sainted martyrs. Apart from that, you probably sensed it in my voice. I have a tickle in my throat. I'm congested in my sinuses. And it's not a cold. That's what's so awful about it. We have gone through a drought here in Southern California for how many years? And just the last couple months, we've had some ample rain. And it has brought up all kinds of vegetation all around us. Things that you wouldn't expect. Well, at least my sinuses didn't expect it. And so I'm running a really bad allergy today. That is very uncomfortable. So if you sense that in my voice, we'll just please be forgiving today. We've got some signals set up with Ken, so if he needs to mute the microphone if I need to clear my throat or sneeze, whatever the case may be. So we'll try to make it as comfortable as possible for you and for me. Well, while we are taking a break in between these genocide events, let's take advantage of the time to share some ideas about it. In particular, you know where I stand, and it's not enough to just commemorate a genocide, but you need to take some action to stop and help some people because of the genocide you experienced. And certainly that's the theme that I keep pushing at all of the events I've been speaking at. I want to share with you what happened a couple days ago. We had the county supervisors here. Here in Los Angeles, we have 5 county supervisors, very, very powerful people. And you've heard me talk about Mike Antonovich in the past, who Armenians applaud and love and everything. I just found him to be really... let's put it this way. I was just happy that there was term limits and he was out. So the new supervisor has invited us, the Armenian community. Now, I've never go to this. I was asked by the Archbishop to go to this on Tuesday because the supervisors were going to recognize the Armenian genocide. This is what I mean. We're such a sorry group of people that we run into these kind of things, because I get there and there's like 30, 40 people there, Armenians, that are getting these certificates and recognition. You know, the genocide, we had nothing to do with it. And I understand people need to recognize, but the county supervisors... Like, doesn't it bother you when they get up and they say, you know, we're not going to let genocide happen? What genocide are you preventing? Especially in your role as a county supervisor or a mayor or a city council person. But we applaud these people. We thank these people. And I was just beside myself. Anyway, they had 3 people that spoke. I spoke. And I don't know, some of you who are listening from the outside of the... United States probably will not appreciate what we go through over here, because it is really, really sad. It is a sad state of affairs over here as far as church goes. Because I speak, there has to be a counterbalance to that by bringing up not another denomination, somebody right from our Armenian Orthodox tradition. And he has to get up because he belongs to what they call over here the prelacy. And basically, it's an illegal group of people that are acting. Yes, it is illegal. There's no nice way. You can't sugarcoat it, okay? Yes, I understand there's a history to it. I understand that there's been things. But today, when the rhetoric, okay, stick to the rhetoric, is one church, one people, and they give you that rhetoric, it's very difficult. In fact, it's impossible to swallow why there's 2 churches, apart from other ulterior motives. So I get up and I speak, and you know where I come from. And so I just changed the conversation. Instead of us talking about the genocide, how about if we talk about
today
some of
to
the
recognize
causes.
The Armenian people and their accomplishments. It's important to remember the reason why we Armenians are here in this great country, the United States of America. It was upon this group of people that in 1915, the most barbaric crime of genocide was waged. We were forcibly ejected from our historic homelands. And therefore, the people that you see in front of you, as well as all Armenians, were at one time homeless, at one time were immigrants. Yes, we are here today to witness to the power of the good to overcome evil, just as we celebrated Easter a couple days ago to celebrate the victory of life over death. Yet, our prayer today is that we stand today as a witness to what happened when intolerance, when hatred and injustice go unchecked. We ask our Lord above that he grants the wisdom to the supervisors, and we ask that you, the supervisors, in thinking of the Armenians in your deliberations, always keep in mind the need to address issues of intolerance, hatred, bigotry, and injustice as a top priority to maintain the standards of civil society and to keep the serenity of sanctity of life by honoring the homeless as God's creation and the immigrants as a reason for hope in tomorrow. God bless you and thank you.
And so this is how I approached it. It's fine. You know, everybody has their approach to it. And, you know, they have to now bring up somebody else who's going to balance it off. And unfortunately, the guy gets up and it's a joke. There's no other way of expressing it. It's in recognition of the supervisors and what they do and rattling off. We're talking about 1.5 million people being slaughtered. This is not a game. It's not up for political review. 1.5 million people did not exist after the genocide. What is this? They're getting up and it's becoming a bargaining chip. You should have seen it. I mean, they're giving out these proclamations, and we're in this room, and people are fighting over these proclamations. Hey, I didn't get one. I want one. I didn't get one. What did you do? Who gave up whose life? It's very disheartening. It was very difficult to the point where I don't know if I can go to another one of these. I went because I was asked. I understand there's certain things you have to do. There's certain protocols that you have to follow. But it's just very upsetting. It's you just feel. You feel what a sham it is. You feel how bogus the whole thing is. You feel how insincere it is, especially when they pass it out and they say, okay, now the Armenians are coming up. Take your picture, stand there. Okay, now it's done. Thank you very much. Come again next year. And we fall for it. So much so that today at one of the high schools where I spoke, one of the kids gets up. And in introducing me, he says that it's too bad that the United States does not recognize this genocide. I mean, what's the story that's being thrown out at people? That we need other people to recognize a reality? And I asked those students straight out. I said, I can't imagine. And it was, by the way, they had done such a beautiful job of organizing this rally. They had taken the school auditorium and they had filled it with non-Armenians, which was really beautiful. And so I challenged them. I said, I can't imagine a Jew of Jewish background coming up and saying, okay, yeah, the Holocaust is up for debate. You know, somebody saying, well, maybe the Holocaust didn't happen. What would the Jewish person do? The Jews would never put up with it. In fact, just a week ago, there's your proof for it, right? One of Trump's spokespeople, I think the press secretary, got up and he equated the gassing in Syria with Hitler, which many people said that, hey, one of the things you got to learn first thing is you never, ever, ever defend Hitler. But the press secretary got up and he said that what happened in Syria was not as bad as what Hitler did. Hitler never gassed anybody. What? Yeah. The point was that the minute he said it, the Anti-Defamation League, you had all kinds of Jewish lobbyists out there. You had people down his throat. How dare you say that? Asking for his resignation. But somehow when it comes to Armenian genocide, well, let's debate it. What do you think about it? You're a county supervisor. You're not the president. You're not the head of a country. You don't even have the armed forces. You have a sheriff's department. What do you think about the genocide? Will you please recognize it? What is this? Think about the African-American experience. African-Americans were brought here on slave ships. Now get up and say that didn't happen. Or let's say this. No. Let's not just negate it. Let's just say it's up for discussion now. Did this really happen? Who would dare to do that? Yeah, I laugh at it. It's preposterous. Who would dare to do that? But somehow when it comes down to the Armenian genocide, a truth that 1.5 million people existed one day, they didn't exist the next day, that somehow is okay to debate. Not only that, and I threw it out at the supervisors meeting, is that every Armenian you know here in Los Angeles County, every Armenian you see in front of you, was at one time homeless, was at one time an immigrant. Think about that. They were once immigrants, they were once homeless. Okay, if not me, then my parents, if not my parents, my grandparents. But along the way, we were exiled from the lands in which we had lived for millennia. We were exiled from our historic homeland. That's why we have created what? A diaspora. Yep, that's it. It's called a diaspora. It's unnatural. We had our homeland, but we're here, right? We're throughout the world. Why? Because we were thrown out of our own homeland. Now, there's no debate. There's nothing I need to prove. Ambassador Morgenthau. We have his book. We have documentation from 1915 to 1923. Do you know that there was more written about the Armenian genocide in those 7 years than the first 7 years of the Darfuri genocide? They're 100 years apart, 90 years apart. You'd think with more technology, there was more written back then. And yet, we still put up with people who are going to say, well, maybe it didn't happen. No, I can't do that. I'm finished with that. If people want to do that, and I understand there's people who, it's a passion for them. And I certainly heard people like that this week. But I'm finished with it. We need to do something positive, and we are doing something positive. We're getting out there. I mean, if we can get people to start thinking about homelessness, if we can get people to start thinking about the immigration crisis, about refugees, because we were once refugees, because we were once homeless, because we were once immigrants. And thank God that our countries, whether it's the United States or any of the other countries that opened their doors to us, were there so that we didn't have to die in the desert. Yeah, we have a lot to be grateful for. And we need to be able to pay it back by paying it forward to other people. That's how simple it is. That's the InIssues formula. InIssues was created around the act of genocide to say, we're going to be doing something about it. Yeah, you can go and you can try to get supervisors and city council people to recognize it. We're beyond that, okay? No recognition given. Okay, Ken's signaling me. He wants to play the other one. Okay, let's play it, okay? This is what the other guy said, okay? It's sad. It's sad. Promise me you'll cut it a little bit, okay?
We express our appreciation to Supervisor Catherine Barger for this special presentation in remembrance of the Armenian Genocide. We are so pleased that this beautiful tradition begun by Supervisor Michael Antonovich continues, and we hope that it will continue until the Armenian people attain universal recognition and justice and beyond. 102 years on, we remain firm in our resolve to seek justice for our holy martyrs and reparation for our lost lands and properties. For only justice, not time, can begin to heal our deep wounds. We are certain to prevail with united efforts.
All right, anyway, so that's what it comes down to, okay? we need to change the conversation, and that's what we try to do here on The Next Step, and I'm glad you're part of it. Listen, you know, last week was Easter week. We celebrated it up in Portland, Oregon, and it was beautiful in many respects, not only the nature, just the people, just the camaraderie that we enjoyed up there, just a group of people who were there to pray. Sadly, a community without a pastor, and that's why I was up there just to fill in for the week. Very sad, because you see good intentioned people and you know that it could get only fantastic if they had the right leadership. And so we pray for that community as well. But one of the things that I missed was the singing of Ures Maerim on Thursday night. And to be honest with you, I was just drained because I was singing the hymns, and it's a long, long, long night. And I couldn't get myself up to doing Ures Maerim, especially to do it justice. I want to share with you this version of it. I played one version last week. I think I played Isabel by Rakhdarian. Yeah, did you like that? Yeah. Last week, I had fun with it. And thank you for those of you who wrote in about it. I had fun with last week's Next Step. It was a very special Easter week celebration for me with all that music. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, thank you very much. But I'd like to play you a different version. This comes to us off of the Ararat CD. Ararat, this was the soundtrack to a movie that came out a few years ago. It must have been about 10 years ago or so. There will be a link on our show notes to it. Anyway, this is Ures Maerim, Where Is My Mother? It is the traditionally sung as a lament of Christ on the cross, asking where is his mother to just wipe his sweat off of his brow, to just hold his hand, to give him, he's asking for water and they're giving him vinegar. Where is my mother? The one person that cares for me, the one person that loves me, the one person that would not abandon me. Where is she right now? And it's the lament of a Savior up on a cross. And I play this today because this is the Thursday before Armenian Genocide commemoration, which is the Armenian crucifixion. It is the Armenian crucifixion. Where is my mother? Ures Maerim. It is a version that I played a few weeks ago. I was listening to it and I said, I want to save that and play it for my listeners. Take a few moments to maybe just relax with this one.
Thank you.
Where Is My Mother? What is Mayrim? It's off of the soundtrack to Ararat movie, a movie that came out, by Adam McGoyan, had done it a few years ago, 2002, oh, quite a bit, 15 years ago. And I remember when this came out, it was something very special to see it on the big screen. I don't think it lived up to the expectations the community had. Why? Because I think the community, again, wanted to see blood and guts. Let's show, you know, the Turks killing the Armenians, what I was talking about earlier. And I do hope that The Promise will have a better run than this one had. But I do remember being very intrigued by Ararat. Just, it was very artistic. And it did a lot for us at that time. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that song. There'll be a link on today's show notes. As every week, we feature one artist and one song. And also ask you that if you do like these artists and you do like this, please be supportive of their efforts.
Hine tsava bayts nore ora imne ora yev huisen ora yes I'd kanapsos ush haskatsa.
Do you ask questions when good things happen, or do you just accept them? I used to ask more than I do now. It's tempting to ask the questions. We all have that curiosity. But in most instances, we've got to learn to just kick back and just enjoy it. Because as you get older, I think, and definitely in my case, let me not project it onto you. Definitely in my case, as I get older, I realize less and less that things are by chance or coincidence, as we call them. But there is a reason why these things all plug into each other and come about together. Case in point, just a few weeks ago, I don't think I shared this story with you. My son Sevan, we lost one of our most beautiful pets a little bit over a year ago. It was an Australian shepherd. His name was Aussie. And he was old. He died of natural causes. But very, very, he left a big hole in our life. He was very, very well loved by all of us, and very attached to my son, Sevan. And he's been looking around this last couple months for, it was time to get a new pet, and he was looking for an Australian Shepherd, and he came about one, and it was a puppy. And one morning he told me, I'm bringing home a puppy, Australian Shepherd, tonight. And I asked him, I said, would have you selected a name? And he said, AJ, Aussie Jr. AJ. So he tells me this, and I'm off. Actually, you know what day it was? It was right at Meechink. It was the day that I had the podcast to do. It was a very busy day, and I was with the Archbishop. We were driving someplace to up by the coast to do a Meechink service. And as we were driving, I remember I was driving, and all of a sudden, a white VW. Now, if you, there's little things that you don't know about me. I go crazy for VW Beetles. And there was a white VW Beetle that just passed by. And I wouldn't notice any other car except it's this white VW Beetle that passes by. And I look over, and on the license plate, I see AJ. Huh, my son told me this morning. He was getting a dog and naming it AJ. So quickly, you know, I'm like the Flash. I just whipped out my cell phone. And I said, gotta grab a picture of that. And I grabbed a picture of this car. And all I know is that, you know, you're driving, so you can't really manipulate too much. And don't let anybody hear that I did this. But I grabbed a picture. But you know what? Wait. To my defense, I should tell you that I was in Los Angeles traffic going out to Costa Mesa. So we were basically crawling at one or two miles an hour, okay? It was during the crawl. Anyway, I took this picture and didn't think about it again. So we get home that night, and it's pretty late, and I meet AJ for the first time. Beautiful little Australian Shepherd puppy, and very, very cute. Go to sleep. Next morning, I remembered that I'd had this picture. I remember I had this picture. I said, oh, I got to show Sevan this picture. So I pull it out on my phone. It's a picture of the VW. And then I zoom in. I zoom in on the license plate. What do you suppose the license plate is? AJ's. AJS. A heart. AJ's love. Rest in peace. AJ. Right? Ozzy Jr.? His love. Rest in peace. Okay, yeah, you know what? People can look at it and say, wow, that's kind of like you're really stretching it. Or people can look at it and go, like I did, and go, whoa! Like, where is that Twilight Zone music? Coincidence? Chance? I told you. Let's pick on Sevan a little bit more. I told you a few months ago. Almost a year ago, that we went to his graduation. And there we are at his graduation from law school. And we run into a cousin of mine. And this cousin, let's see, his father and my father would be first cousins. So we would be second cousins. And my son, Sevan, would be third cousins, right, with his son. Okay. And we run into them. Now, this is a cousin after the genocide. Here's a genocide story. After the genocide, my grandmother was split from her siblings. Several of them, they all went to Greece. My grandmother made her way to the United States. The others ended up in Armenia during the 1940s, what's called the Haydnartars, going back to Armenia. And here we are, descendants of these two sisters, sitting at this theater where my son is graduating, and his son is graduating. Now, what are the chances of that? Two sisters, both survivors of the Armenian Genocide, being split apart 100 years ago, and here it is in a place called Los Angeles, that they're great-grandsons are graduating from the same university on the same day. Split apart, different areas, and here we are meeting each other. Not only that, they went on to take the bar. Now, not only that, they're now practicing, both of them. What are the chances? Well, yeah, there are some statistics. You could probably figure out the chances. I'd like to just think that, hey, don't ask the question. It's okay. It happens. And it's beautiful that it happens, right? It's just beautiful. You don't need the Twilight Zone music. It is what it is. Well, that's how we've been feeling about this entire reclaim and the aftermath of that. If you remember, several months ago, I told you about the Reclaim conference coming up and how intense it was. And I shared with you the conference time, and it was really magical. If you didn't know, if you're just hearing about it today, I'll make sure that there is a link on today's show notes, because I would really invite you to take a look at what we experienced through that conference. It was 3 days of just magic in the Armenian church. It opened the doors for a new group of people, people who had been disenfranchised, people who had been lost, who were not part of it, to reclaim their Armenian church. And as a result of the reclaim, right afterwards, we started these evening services, and they just started last week. It was a direct response to that reclaim. Now, you can sit there and you can ask questions. How is this happening? Why is this happening? Or you could just kind of go with the flow. We stop asking the questions. You know, what's the expression? Don't look a gifted horse in the mouth. I mean, we've got something really special right now. We've got these services that are sanctioned by an archbishop of the Armenian church. And we need to be able to enjoy them and really recognize them for the purpose for which they exist, namely to give the glory to God, to get it off of ourselves, to lose the ego, to look forward, and thank God for the abundance that we enjoy in that equation called life. That's how simple it is, you know. And people asking questions, well, how did you do it? How did you get the you know, don't ask those questions. just go with the flow. So here we are. We're doing these English services. We started off. I know it sounds kind of weird to people because, yeah, that's what Next Step is. It's basically we do it in English. But believe it or not, the language of the Armenian Orthodox Church, what I talk to you about as Armodoxy, still the language is ancient Armenian. It's not even a contemporary version of Armenian. The language of the church is ancient Armenian. And so I personally just love it because there are expressions in there that really touch my soul. But I also recognize very, very sincerely, and it hurts me, I recognize that it doesn't speak to people, that people do get lost, and we do need a reform. So we're trying this. We're trying to have these services in the English language, and they're very pretty, actually, when you translate them properly. And we're taking some pain to go with the regular translation. You know, Archbishop Didon Nersoyan did a translation, and I think it's just phenomenal what he's translated, the volume of stuff that he has translated. But in many ways, it's academic. In other words, it's perfect for a word-on-word. But sometimes you need to go beyond that and change it over to the daily usage of words. And I wish I could think of an example right now, but the closest one that comes to me is just as simple as abandoning the old English in reference to God. Thee, thy, thou, just to use you. For yours is the kingdom. For yours is the power. Is it disrespectful? I don't think so. I think we're at a point right now where we are in emergency gear. We have to use the resources that we have to bring that focus back to God. So we have this opportunity now. Do you question it or you just go with it? Now, for me as a priest, here's some of the dilemmas that I have. I work with people who have basically lost it for the Armenian Church so many times. Especially, it was a wake-up call to go up to a place like Portland, because sometimes we, you know, what is that? Familiarity breeds contempt. We're basically in contempt of the Armenian Church. We're so familiar with it. And you go up to a place like that where it's not a regular part of their diet, and you see how starved they are for it, for the Armenian service when it's done properly and it's talking to the people. And so there we were for Holy Week. I would say, you know, handfuls, maybe 20, 30 people throughout Holy Week for the different services. But come Easter Sunday, packed wall to wall, outside, inside, and so on. And again and again and again, we heard the comments over and over, people coming up and saying that, you know, this is the Armenian church that we want. This is the Armenian church that we want to be a part of. Well, what's the difference? What did we do different from any other church? We did it with soul. We did it with people understanding that they are a part of it. In other words, that empowerment formula. When I was the priest at St. Peter Glendale, that was one of the biggest things that we did. It was an intentional use of the choir, in that we didn't robe, we didn't vest the choir. They didn't have robes, and it was intentionally that way, so that nobody ever felt like there was a group of singers and the group of non-singers. And tragically, these kind of things fall apart when the leadership goes, when there's no vision. And that's really something that I need to work on for my next step in life, to be able to pass this along to future leaders, future people. And I'm very, very thankful, again, that our Archbishop is behind me and wants to see me move in that direction. But it is so important that we understand that the Armenian church, really in its beauty, and I understand, I've gone to many of them where you've heard these classical, these soloists, beautiful, beautiful renditions of the Armenian hymns, but it doesn't speak to the people on a personal level. You know what I'm talking about? It's like going to an opera, going to like a show, and you watch it. And you applaud at the end. It's beautiful. But what do you take away? What's the endearing power? So imagine this. Here we are on Easter Sunday, and we've got people that have come to church that probably have never even been to an Armenian church. And we get to the portion called the Kiss of Peace. And, you know, usually it's like that mafioso kind of thing where they come up with their hands over their hearts and they greet one another with a holy kiss. This is, by the way, for everybody who's waiting for me to slip up and say, oh, but that's not in Scripture. Yes, it comes right out of Scripture. St. Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. And so during the kiss of peace, I stopped the entire divine liturgy. And I said, hold it, everybody. Let's go through an explanation. What's going to happen right now? Because you've got a room full of people who are just watching as if it's an opera, and it's not an opera. It's a time for them to engage. And this was something that, again, at St. Peter, what we had done, thanks to my wife, Susan, had gone in there and organized different groups of people to do the kiss of peace, to spread the kiss of peace. So one Sunday, maybe it was a couple kids. One day it was maybe a mother and daughter. Another was two brothers, a father and a son, husband and a wife. What's that signaling to people? That this is a community where everyone is engaged. And so I stopped the service and I said, okay, this is what the kiss of peace is. And it's an opportunity for you to hug, to kiss, to embrace, to shake hands, whatever your comfort level is with the person next to you, in front of you, behind you, all around you. And we did that. And I got to tell you, the choir sang Christos Imech, Christ is in our midst. And there was a buzz. There was a buzz in that church. People were rejoicing. And is there anything more beautiful than to celebrate the divine liturgy with happiness, with smiles on your face? I mean, you know, it's not a funeral. It's a celebration. And we did the same thing again at our English alternative services on Monday night. We stopped it and we expressed and explained what the kiss of peace was. And that one went even nicer because people got out of their seats and crossed over the aisles. Yes, not even Democrat-Republican lines would have held them back. They went across the aisle and hugged one another, kissed one another, embraced one another. And now let me ask you, Christ is in our midst. Do you need proof of that? Yes, it's all around you. It's happening. And this is the power of the Armenian Church when it is unleashed. And that's really the secret to it all. Unleash it. Don't be scared to experience the Armenian Church. Unleash it. Look, Monday night, what we did a continuation of the Easter celebration. So we had a chance to actually use as the text for our Bible study the texts that are read on Easter Sunday. Isn't it interesting that the text for Easter Sunday in our lectionary comes to us from Acts chapter 1, where it's talking right after the resurrection, what do the disciples do? They get amongst themselves and they cast lots and they find somebody to replace Judas. Now, have you ever thought about that? Why? Why do they need to replace Judas? I know there's the thing about the 12 tribes and they needed the 12, but no, couldn't they have done it with 11? No, but they needed to keep some kind of order. The system had to be maintained. That church is part of the equation. Jesus came and he set up his church and the apostles got together and they put together this church. That's what we call the apostolic church. It's so necessary. This is one thing that the Protestants can't get over, because when you talk about apostolic church, you're talking about going back to the roots where Jesus Christ was. And I, with all due respect for all our Protestant brothers and sisters, when they talk about, I read it in the Bible and everything, that's great. But it's the church that gave life to that Bible. Bible was not created by God. God gave us the ultimate gift, his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave us his church, my body, and he said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So think about that for a moment, okay? The celebration of Christ, the salvation he offers us, the celebration of God, that is what is at the center of our church. And when you do that, it takes the focus off of you. There goes ego out the window. Woo! There it goes. That's what it's all about. And once you start understanding this, it all makes sense. And you find the beauty, you really engage with something much higher than yourself. So these are my feelings. You've caught me in between so many different activities, between the Armenian Genocide speeches, doing our church services and bringing a new community to life, and really enjoying a very special ministry that God has touched us with. Don't ask the questions. I'm not asking questions. And all I know is that you go for the ride, you go with the flow. So with that, let me turn it over to Susie to make her announcement. I'll be back in a couple moments.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you to all of you for all of your generous support, your prayers. They go a long way. And thank you for putting up with my allergies, too, today. It's just been miserable, you know. I haven't shared with you all the miseries over here. Thank you, Ken, for blocking all that and muting the microphone. Anyway, want to invite you to get involved with us at all the usual spots. Next week, I believe we're going to be having, we're going to be continuing with the conversation we started a few weeks ago with Dr. Hovsepian Birce. She'll be our guest next week if all goes well. She will also be speaking at next Monday night's church service, and we hope to get things rolling and be able to broadcast that. All this costs money, and that's where you come in. If you're part of this ministry, we thank you. We thank you for your generosity and your support. It goes a long way, and all of this costs money. The microphones, the computers, all the fun stuff, you know, let's put it that way, right? By the way, I'm going to be speaking in a couple weeks about social media. They found me. They want me to talk about different aspects of social media and how to use them for the church. And as I was thinking about the notes, I'll give you a sneak preview. My first point is going to be don't ever think that social media can replace the church. You know, you can have big communities out there electronically and otherwise, but the church is a place where you have that physical contact. And I repeat it even over here. I thank you for the support you give that on this ministry, but do get out there and do make that contact. That human contact is very, very important. This ministry, yeah, it's important too. It's all part of the thing. Just like what we were saying a few minutes ago, there's the prayer life, there's the worship life, there's getting together, the communities, all of these are important. They play together in expressing who we are, our relationship with God. I'm going to call it a day for right now. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed producing it for you. On behalf of the crew that put this together, we invite you to take a look at all the stuff we do. Facebook's a good place to start. We all have pages, all have places you can plug into, Instagram, Twitter, and of course the mothership, inhisshoes.com. On behalf of our producer, Susie, on behalf of our engineer, Ken, this is Father Vazgen, inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of VPostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take your podcast out.